Look with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians to chapter 6. The book of Galatians, and in chapter 6, and I'd like for us to read verses 12 through verse 15. As we look this morning at the subject of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ. Lord willing, in our evening message, we'll look at the gospel of Christ. But we begin this morning with the cross of Christ. Galatians in chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. I want us to look this morning at verse 14 as our text out of this context. And I won't dwell on this, but I will mention this. In the latter part of this verse, as the apostle did speak of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For those who are new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is dead to us, has no attraction unto us. Our minds and our lives are spiritual, and we dwell upon spiritual things, and our main focus is not the things of the world. On the other hand, we are crucified unto the world. I can tell you, the world thinks very little of true believers. The world is an ungodly world. And the saints of God, if they stand for the truth of God, are looked down upon even as the offscouring of the earth. And it is true. We speak about the cross of Christ, by whom the world is dead to me, and I unto the world. In verse 14, our message will come from the first part of the verse. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I begin by asking a question. When you think of the word cross, what comes to your mind? What is it that you immediately think of? And I'll just mention this. You can take it for whatever it's worth. The word that is translated cross literally means a stake or a pale. P-A-L-E, a pale. But what do you think of when you think of the word cross? In the scripture, the word cross has more than one meaning. And as we read verse 14, the first part of the verse, where Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to want to know, well, what's he talking about? What is he talking about? Again, in the scripture, the word cross has more than one meaning. It certainly means the wooden structure upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. We know that it means that. In Philippians and in chapter 2, Philippians and in chapter 2 and in verse 8 is a familiar verse of Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 and in verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And there's no doubt that a wooden structure, a means of execution, is meant in this verse. Look also, if you would, in John chapter 19. In John and in chapter 19, here we'll read verses 16 and 17. John 19, verse 16. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Also, if you look at verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother." Now, again, to any rational mind, there is no doubt in verse 17, when they led Jesus out of Jerusalem, he was bearing that wooden structure that he would be nailed unto. In verse 25, there is no doubt that Mary, his mother, stood by that wooden structure upon which Jesus was crucified. But I will say this unto you, this is not the cross in which Paul had in mind in Galatians 6 and in verse 14. This is not the cross that Paul would glory in. And I can tell you, it is not the cross that I would glory in. Could you imagine the Apostle Paul glorying in a wooden structure? That is just as far into the nature of the Apostle Paul as anything that I can imagine. That he would glory in that piece of wood upon which Jesus Christ was crucified. I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul singing, "I will cling to the old rugged cross." I can't imagine that. I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul wearing a crucifix or a cross in a necklace around his neck. I cannot imagine him bowing the knee in some church unto a cross. That you just do not find that, and I think Paul would never do that. I think Paul would say, "God forbid, God forbid." The cross certainly means the wooden structure, but as I said, there are other meanings of the word cross in the Scripture. I'm going to the book of Matthew, and in chapter 10, Matthew and in chapter 10, sometimes in the Scripture the word cross is used to mean the afflictions and the trials of believers who follow Jesus. The afflictions, the persecutions, the trials that they must bear if they're going to truly follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 37, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, look in chapter 16 of Matthew. In chapter 16, And here we'll read verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, if his words here in these two passages of Scripture have a reference to a wooden cross, then I'm afraid you and I would be disqualified because we don't have one. Any rational person reading this would know that Jesus in these words is not referring to a wooden structure. He is referring to those who follow him to be willing to bear those trials and afflictions that will come by being his disciples. And if you're not willing to endure these things, he said, you're not worthy to be my disciple. But again, the word cross here does not mean that piece of wood under which Jesus Christ was crucified. The cross in Galatians in chapter 6 and in verse 14, what is Paul referring to here? Well, if you follow the ministry of Paul, just read his writings, read what he taught, read what he preached, you'll learn immediately that the cross of Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 14 has a reference to the finished sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul gloried in. The cross of Christ, that perfect sacrifice of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. Again, it is the full satisfaction of divine justice by blood atonement of the Son of God. That's what the Apostle Paul did glory in. If I'm going to glory in anything, that's the kind of cross I will glory in. The cross of Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory except in this one thing. And again, that word cross, he's not glorying in that wooden structure. He's glorying in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1. Notice verse 17 and 18, if you would. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is Paul talking about? It is a very limited mind and understanding, and I think it is ignorance of the Word of God to think that Paul is speaking about some kind of structure erected on Golgotha and Jesus Christ was put to death upon it. It's not the structure, it's the Word. It's the person and the work. Notice, if you would, in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. How could that possibly refer to a wooden cross, a wooden structure? How could a wooden structure be made of non-effect? What is the preaching of the cross in verse 18? What is it that is foolishness unto unbelievers? Well, a wooden structure is not foolishness to them. They kind of look at it and say, that's good. Unbelievers will have one hanging around their neck. What is it in verse 18 that is foolishness to them that perish? And what is it in verse 18 that is the power of God to those who are saved? Not a wooden structure. Again, the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Him laying his life down as the Lamb of God, sacrificing himself for the sins of his people. Paul said, God forbid that I glory in anything else. God forbid. In Galatians in chapter 5 and in verse 11. Galatians in chapter 5 and in verse 11. Here he did write, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. What is the offense of the cross? What is it people rebel at? The perfect, finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not, again, a cross as you might visualize. Paul said, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? And he said, then, if I did preach circumcision as a means of salvation, then is the offense of the cross ceased. But Paul did not preach that. He preached Christ and him crucified. He preached him dying in the room and stead of his people. In Ephesians and in chapter 2. Ephesians and in chapter 2. In verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 16. How is it, and I could say, in whom is it, that reconciliation to God is made? Reconciliation to God is not made by a piece of wood, but by the person of Jesus Christ. But he did make that great sacrifice at Golgotha, and we ought to never lose sight of that. In the book of 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 1, and in verse 22 and verse 23, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. In chapter 2 of the same book, in verses 1 and 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, staying in the same book, to chapter 15. In chapter 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul here, his focus is up on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, you know this, surely you do, and I've mentioned it on many occasions, verse 3. Paul did not simply preach Christ crucified. The gospel is not simply Christ crucified. Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And he said it is this, it is how that Christ died for our sins. Well, how did He die for our sins according to the Scripture? How did He do that? How did He die for our sins? By being our substitute. By bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. By shedding that precious blood for us. And I'm convinced that when Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had in mind how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. His focus was upon Christ and His atoning work. A reading of the writings of Paul in the Scripture, and he did write 14 books of your New Testament, and he mentions the word Jesus a little over 500 times. Where do you think his focus was? It was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know what he meant. Paul, according to the flesh, had many things he could glory in. Other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there's never been a greater preacher or missionary upon this earth. No one has ever preached more, traveled more, endured more than the Apostle Paul. But did he glory in those things? No. A Hebrew of the Hebrews? No. He said, God, he's praying, God, forbid me from glorying in anything other than the cross of Christ. When you look at Galatians 6 and in verse 14, and we think of Paul many times as that strong, great Christian, and he was, but Paul was well aware of his personal weaknesses. If you want to get a good view of that, just read Romans 7. Paul was aware that in the flesh he was weak. Paul knew that he needed divine intervention. Have you ever prayed, God, don't let me do this or that? God, forbid me from doing this or that. Whatever it may be. Paul said, God forbid. Those words, God forbid, in Galatians 6 in verse 14 simply mean, God, let it be far from me. God, just don't let me do this. Let it never come to pass. Cause it never to happen. asking God for help in this matter. It's so easy for the pride of the flesh to come up in any individual, Paul or any other individual. Paul prayed, God forbid. You remember he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 31, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. I remember reading, and I know some of you are familiar with this. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon one time about his preaching, and he said, well, I take a text, and as quickly as I can, I get to Calvary. And you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, it seems like Spurgeon was just doing what Paul did, just get to Calvary. Just get to the blood atonement, get to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul took the work of Jesus Christ on his behalf very personal. It was not just some abstract theological doctrine. It was personal. If you're in Galatians, look in chapter 2. In Galatians and in chapter 2, and I want to read one verse of Scripture, and I would ask you to notice the personal pronouns in this one verse of Scripture. Galatians 2 and in verse 20. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you do not take these things as personal as the Apostle Paul did, you need to do some self-examination. Paul, knowing what he wrote here in Galatians 2 and in verse 20, went on to say, God forbid that I glory in anything but this. God forbid that I glory in anything else. You see, Paul not only preached Christ and him crucified, he gloried. He gloried in it. There are some, even today, in churches around us that might view the crucifixion of Christ as a tragic event. Paul never viewed it that way. Paul said, I'll glory in it. I glory in it. Paul thanked God for it. Paul knew that Jesus was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and that he was dying at the will of God, the instructions of God, and he willfully laid down his life for Paul's sins and the sins of all of his people. And Paul said, God, don't let me glory in anything but that. Forbid me from glorying in anything but that. Paul knew Jesus Christ. One more place I want to look, Colossians and in chapter 1. Colossians and in chapter 1. In verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Not the structure, but that blood that did flow from his perfect body. The precious blood by which we were redeemed. If you have peace with God today, it's Jesus who is your peace. Never have your attention diverted from Jesus and how that he died for our sins according to the Scripture. It's blasphemy, it seems, to exalt a wooden structure instead of the person and deity and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.